Well, I guess we have some fires stoked here tonight. And we'll continue with what we're doing. We're talking really, we're getting a little bit off the beaten path, but it's all going back to the same reservoir. And I think that this is the real reservoir of hatred in this ADL camp. And certainly what they want is control and power over not only us individually, our property, but our minds, our souls, Ted.
Yes.
And this is the name of the game. It is total mind control. They did the same thing in Bolshevik Russia, as you know, and in Stalin's NKVD. People were in mental hospitals, those that weren't outright killed. They were put in mental institutions because they were thinking out of the box. And, you know, subversion of the dominant culture has always been the Marxist taktik. Is to subvert the dominant culture, whatever country they may be in. So when the fellow mentioned the ACLU and the ADL and so forth, yes, they all came into being around the same time in the last century by the same forces, including the Council on Foreign Relations. And they all have the same international financiers backing them. So they work from within. And they work from without. And as I mentioned once before, and you like the idea, it wasn't original with me, the American public, the unsuspecting goyim, if you will, are caught in the middle of this big vice. And from the top, they have these powerful elite organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Ford Foundation, and so forth. And from the bottom, they have pressure from the alleged opposition, the ACLU, the Communist Party, the Socialist Workers, and so forth. So they agitate from below, and they move from above. And who's caught in the middle of that vice but the American public, you see?
Yes. Yeah.
This is what they're doing. This is how they legislate, and this is their strategy.
That's right. Well, that brings me to the third hate bill that's in the House of Representatives now.
Oh, my.
I'm glad that we're staying around for another hour because this is very important.
Sure it is.
In fact, I'm the only national figure now who is aware of this threat that I know of. It's called the Department of Peace and Nonviolence,
yeah.
And it's H.R. 808. It was introduced by Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, and... This is a huge, basically a ministry of propaganda that will be set up if H.R. 808 is passed. It will have a budget of $8,400 million each year. That's $8.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
$8,400 million a year will be delegated to bring peace to the world. And this huge government organization, this educational peacemaking organization, if you will send out peace cadets throughout the entire world. They will have a peace academy, which will be on a par with Annapolis and the Air Force Academy and West Point in funding.
Doesn't this sound like Sam Brown and VISTA and Peace Corps and all of that all over again?
This is even bigger than that.
Mm.
And the cadets will spend 4 years getting an education on how to bring peace to the world, and then they will have a 5-year stint. That's 9 years out of their lives. 5-year stint going around the world, not only bringing peace across national boundaries wherever there is need of mediation in the world, Middle East or Eastern Russia or wherever, Africa, but they will also come down to the lowest common denominator, the local households in every village in America, mediating domestic disputes and domestic violence issues and so on. And I just wrote an email alert the first of the week on this subject, and I'll talk about that in just a minute.
We'll be right back 3 minutes from now. And those of you on the line, Mary, you'll be next, I promise, when we return with Ted Pike. Rick Adams, stay tuned for more Hate Conversation right here on RBNLive.com. All right. Okay, I'm back with Ted Pike. And, Ted, let's take another call because I think Mary has been waiting quite a long time. So let's do that. We'll get right back on track. Mary from Wyoming. Hello.
Hello.
Are you there, Mary? Is Mary there?
Compelled to answer.
Here you are. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hi, Mary.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good.
Can
speak
you hear
right
me?
Up.
I just felt compelled to ask you about something I guess it does have to do with what you're talking about tonight. I want to ask you, have you read Mike Piper's book, The Jewish Goats?
Yes, I have.
Oh, well, then I don't understand why you had the guest on you had on last night.
Well, that's another subject. Let's stick with tonight's subject, all right?
Okay, but I thought it was pertinent because I had to tell you about it.
Well, you know, put it this way. I don't have guests on just because they say what I say or what I think. I have guests from all walks of life, and anyone is welcome to come on as a guest if they can take the heat and they can take the callers, and then you decide for yourself what you think is right and what you think is not right. That's
okay,
all.
Okay, I
all
understand
right.
now because he devoted a whole chapter to this guy.
What's that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Mike devoted a whole chapter to this guy.
Jared Taylor.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
all right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's
I understand
fine.
Now. I guess.
All right. Okay. I'm glad I cleared
didn't
that up
about
for you.
What he said. Okay.
No. I'm aware of different aspects, but I don't. Because as I said, I don't put people on the program simply because I think that everything they say is correct. Okay. I don't do that. That's not my role. But anyway, okay. What's your question for Ted Pike?
I didn't have one. I called because this was pertinent because you had that guest on last night.
All right.
So
okay,
anyway,
well.
Hi, Ted. I have one of your videos.
All right.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, at least you do see Ted Pike as a luminary on this issue. I'm happy you do. Thank you. All right, Mary. And you waited all that time, too. Thank you. I appreciate that. How's that, Ted?
Yeah. Well,
she's got your videos.
Yes. I certainly have a great deal of respect for Michael Collins Piper. He has played a pivotal role, actually, in launching all three of my videos. Last videos having to do with the hate crimes and why the Middle East bleeds and Unholy Alliance and so on. He's always been there to give stellar reviews. And we have different perspectives. Some of us have different perspectives, and maybe we are more suspicious of various people than I might be. But anyway, the wonder of our republic is that free speech exists, and disparate points of view can be brought out and aired and put in the public marketplace of mm-hmm. ideas. Isn't
right.
that wonderful? And
well, yeah. That's the beauty of it, and they want to destroy that. That's the whole
yeah.
idea. They want total conformity and uniformity of thought and
yes.
speech.
That's right.
And you know what scares me, Ted, before we get on to the next callers? What scares me so much in our great nation is the way these demons have managed to latch on to the law enforcement community.
Yes.
And they have been given this cozy relationship with our federal police, our FBI, which cannot be trusted anymore because of this, and state police as well. In fact, in every community, police are, as you know, approached by the ADL types and the Southern Poverty Law Center types, the MODIs, and those people who have an in with them. Those people who have an in with them insofar as training police and essentially brainwashing, if you will, law enforcement officials
yeah.
into now harassing people and visiting people simply for going on and doing, say, a public access show or doing something in the public venue that brings up such subjects as Israel or what's going on in the Middle East today. And if they offer a controversial point of view, they might very well get a visit or they might very well get a phone call. And someone may be asking them, what are they part of, a group, an organization? And they're being intimidated by
yeah.
police. And the police admit, yeah, they can't right now do anything about it. But if this law passes, this bill passes that we're talking about, the very people that we're mentioning now who are being victimized by the ADL types and the police will be prosecuted, and they will be arrested, and they will be tried, and then they will be sentenced. So this bill has to be defeated, and all bills like it yes. must be defeated.
Yes. Well, absolutely. This, of course, I believe the most important bill we have to defeat is Conyers' hate bill. Monday mm-hmm. morning, people are going to have to call, as they've never called before, to the House of Representatives, the member of their house from their district. That's number one. There's only one congressman or one congresswoman from your district. And you can come to truthtellers.org, and there you'll find that name. Or you can just call your local library or just call Congress. In fact, I'll just give you our listeners, the number for Congress, the toll-free number,
right.
is 877-851-6437. That toll-free number again, 877-851-6437. Maybe you don't even know who your member of Congress is from your district. It doesn't make any difference. Call 877-851-6437 and say, I want to protest Representative Conyers' hate bill. Who do I protest to from my district? And the lady will say, well, what's your zip code? You'll give it to her, and immediately she will know who your member of Congress is, and within 30 seconds you'll be there at that office. And all you have to say is, please don't vote for H.R. 1592, the federal hate bill of Representative Conyers. That's all you have to say. Or just even not even that complicated. Please don't vote for any hate bills or
that's,
any hate
that's
crime
the key right there, any bill.
Right there. Maybe the number, you can't write it down, you're in your car or something. I don't know. But the main thing is you've got to call your member of Congress. One call is the bare minimum in order to be a self-respecting citizen in this country, in my opinion. And then if you have some more time, come to truthtellers.org. We have all 40 members of the House Judiciary Committee. That's Conyers' committee. Call them. Spend an hour or two and go down the list of truthtellers. Call all of them and say, please don't vote for any hate crimes legislation. And they'll know what you're talking about because Mr. Conyers is their boss there in the judiciary. And then if you've got a little more time and energy, we have excellent brochures at Truth Tellers on all three of these big hate bills that are there. The most important is Conyers' bill, of course. But you take that brochure, print it out front and back, and send that to your member of the House, your congressperson from your district, and also there are the names there of the 8 to 10 very influential aides, legislative legal aides for that member of the House. Send them each a copy of the hate crimes brochure at Truth Tellers, and you can saturate down the members of the House Judiciary, especially in your House members, with the truth in contrast to all of the lies and propaganda that the ADL has brainwashed Congress with.
All right. Now let's take another call. Frank in Louisiana. Hello, Frank. You're on with Ted Pike.
Yes. Good evening, fellas. Thank you all for having this most important show on. And I want to thank Pastor Pike for his work. You see, the whole thing is that this is about a bunch of legal trickology. This is how they do things. They pass an abundance of unconstitutional laws, and this hate law, it's just a typical anti-Christian cleansing, the Christian cleansing program that's going on in this country, and it doesn't sound at all pursuant to the First Amendment free speech, and that's what we got to kind of get across to these legislators, like, you took an oath, and you're forswearing it, and you're particularly coming after us again. And, you know, I appreciate what Pastor Pike is doing, but, you know, at some point, I've reached a point, because I've been fighting, for instance, a 7-year battle with the IRS, and I've beat them every time, because I stuck with the basic constitutional laws, and they can't beat me on it. And I tell them the basic things, and I say, I'm not going to pay it because this is why. And they haven't come at me yet and taken anything. And what I think that we need to do is tell them that this law is not pursuant to our rights, and there has to be something in reserve. That we say to them, you can pass all the laws you want, but if we don't follow it, it's your move. What are you going to do? And I would like to ask Ted Pike, I mean, it's kind of like the thing with Samson or Elijah or Patrick Henry or any of those guys who said enough is enough. When you forswear your oath and you think we're just going to go along like a bunch of sheep to the slaughter pen, we're not going to do it because these people are vehemently anti-Christian. They're putting Christian cleansing laws, and we need to tell them that there is a point that when you continue to do this, We have the option to say, no, you're our servants, we won't follow it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, Frank, that's very well taken. You know, what we have to do is to look up in Canada, and you see, Canada is a telescope into the future of where we will be in a few years if we allow this bill to get passed.
Exactly.
Now, up there, there are valiant fighters for freedom, like Doug Christie out in B.C., a civil liberties lawyer who fights against the federal hate bill and educates against it. There's Paul Fromm, and there are other valiant Christians and conservative leaders up there, Canadian patriots. But if we look at the history of the free speech movement in Canada since 1971, when the ADL got their federal hate bill passed there, we find that the federal power is so overwhelming and the court system is so corrupt that it is virtually impossible to buck the system.
Okay, we've got to take more than that. We'll take a break, but thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Frank. We'll continue to have Ted expostulate on that, and we'll take more calls just ahead. I'm Rick Adams. Our program will continue in 3 minutes. We're back now with Ted Pike. Radio Avenger Rick Adams is here. And we are, we're having a rather heavy end to a week, you know, but it never ends. Satan is always active, always busy, and he's always up to no good. And while you're sleeping tonight after the program is over, or you're after Waylon's program, you go to bed and you just sleep. Let me tell you, Satan is busy. He's active. He's working. Isn't that right, Mr. Ted Pike?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
I'm afraid so is right, and they never sleep.
That's why we all got to get up early Monday morning and get on that phone and undo his deviltry for the week.
Satan never sleeps. That was a movie. In the 1950s that I remember well. All right, let's go to Richie in Louisiana right now. Hello, Richie.
Hi, Rick.
How are you? You've been missed for a while here.
Sir, but not absent. I've been listening to you. Thank you
for
being on the air.
Thank you.
And Parson Pike, thank you for the work you do. And I've been exposed to some of your videos also and find your perspective very enlightening and in some cases a blessing, I may say.
Well, thank you very much.
First of all, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you believe in, I want to keep this on out of context, but on point, I hope at least. What do you think of the British Israel theory?
Well, the Christian identity or British Israel, Anglo-Israelism and so on is a romantic idea. It's an interesting and a romantic idea, but I have received much literature in the 25 years or so I've been in this battle, and what I find is that it goes from one circumstantial point to another. It jumps like going across a creek from rock to rock, from one tentative or circumstantial speculation to the other, and I don't find a solid bridge of evidence that gets me across the river to the conclusion that the modern Western European nations are descended from the 10 tribes of Israel, you see. And in all of my researches, I have tried to be as substantive as I can. And when I go to the Talmud or when I go to the Kabbalah and certainly the Bible, I find this iron chain of evidence which leads me to an irresistible conclusion. For example, that there is a conspiracy out of the Talmud to eventually have dominion over the Gentiles and bring that about through the most devious means. That is fundamental to the Kabbalah and fundamental to the Talmud. But so what I build my whole message upon is irrefutable evidence, irrefutable paper trails leading to the ADL behind the hate laws or leading in these various emphases that I get. But the Anglo-Israel identity is so scattered and so speculative that I have never been able to be able to believe it or make a lot of sense out of it.
Well, let me try and get this question. I hope as concise as I can. If we, and I mean the white Western European people, particularly United States, are not Israel, and if in fact this foreign minority is in Khazars, particularly who, if this is true, they're not truly Jewish, who do run this hidden hand. And prophecy, how does this all pan out in the biblical prophetic return of our Messiah?
Yes, okay. The truth is, if we go back to Deuteronomy, where God was telling the Hebrews, he said, if you disobey me, he said, I will curse you. I'll curse you in your fields. I'll curse you in your homes. I'll curse you in your family. He lays out these terrible curses against the Jewish people if they rebel against him.
The Hebrew people or the Jewish people?
Excuse me, the Hebrew people at that time in history. And what he says there, I don't quite have the chapter verses at the tip of my tongue, but he says, if you rebel against me, he says, I will curse you by allowing aliens to dwell among you and rule over you. That is one of the most fundamental curses of the curse against the Hebrew people in the book of Deuteronomy. And I'll repeat that. He says, I will allow aliens to dwell among you and rule over you.
Well, it sounds like America today, doesn't it?
It does. But here's what what happened, Richie. Just in a word, God also cursed the Jewish people that they would be very small, and at one time in their history they may have been, I don't know, 5, 6 million, 7 million people, but they were. He says, I will curse you to be very small. Now, if we look at the history of the Jews over the past 2,000 years, we find that they were exiled. The southern kingdom was exiled into Babylon in 587 B.C., and there they dwelt. And then after they were exiled again out of Babylon in about the 11th century A.D., about 1,600 years later, they went into the western nations. But meanwhile, God, in his providence, raised up a Khazar multitude in central Eurasia. And we'll talk about that later.
All right. Can you hang on, Richie?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll bring you both back when we return 3 minutes with more Uncensored Radio Free America. And we're talking with Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. Go there now. We'll discuss it when we come back. All right, we're back now. We got caller Richie in Louisiana and Ted Pike here, and we're just getting a little bit off the beaten path of the show, but that's okay. We'll wrap this up and let you guys continue in your point-by-point statement. I think, Ted, you wanted to continue to answer Richie's question, but go ahead. Do that now.
Yes, I'll try to keep it real simple.
Yeah.
The Hebrews or the Jewish people were cursed because they rejected Jesus Christ. They actually crucified him. And this terrible curse out of Deuteronomy still hangs over them, that they will be a small people and that aliens will live among them and rule over them. Now, what happened was the house of Judah, that is the southern kingdom, the southern tribe of Judah, was taken into Babylon. They were there for about 1,600 years. Then they came into the west, into the Mediterranean area, North Africa, especially Spain, and they became known as the Sephardic or Spanish Jews. They were descendants, relatively speaking, pure descendants of the ancient tribe of Judah. On the other hand, around 850 A.D., a king and his nation in central Eurasia between the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea converted to Judaism. These were the descendants of Attila the Hun, Turkish, Japhetic, Gentile stock, but they convinced themselves that they were actually descendants of Abraham. Maybe they thought they were descendants of the lost 10 tribes or something like that, but this nation of the Khazars became actually more passionate about the Talmud and especially the Kabbalah than the original Jews themselves far to the east in Spain and Italy and so on. And so what happened is with the Russian invasions around the 10th, 11th centuries and so on, and other invasions, these Khazars migrated westward into the Balkan countries and up into Poland and Russia and so on, and they constituted what is known as the Eastern European or Ashkenazi branch of Judaism. Mm-hmm. Now, roughly around the 16th century A.D., many of these Sephardic Jews, Sephardic Oriental Jews, or the true descendants of Judah, in Germany, in France, and so on, began to mingle with the Polish Jews and so on. There was a certain amount of intermarriage, but basically the majority, I would say, of the so-called Jews of Poland, Lithuania, Russia, and so on, which came to America around the turn of the century, became the founders of the Hollywood movie studios and so on, and big in finance and so on, in government, were largely Khazar or Japhetic Gentile in origin. Mm-hmm. Now, that brings us to Zionism, and it around the turn of the century, many of these Eastern European so-called Jews, Khazars, with maybe some Sephardic blood of Judah in them, who knows, they came down and they became the dominant ruling elite among the Zionists in Israel. And the Sephardic were not so hot on Zionism. They were more orthodox and traditional. They said, we're going to wait for the Messiah. Mm-hmm. But the radical Khazars, we're talking about Golda Meir, Jabotinsky, Menachem Begin, Ben-Gurion,
mm-hmm.
and so on. They were all Khazars.
Right.
They came down there, and they dwelt among the Jewish people, and they were thorns in their sides, and they ruled over them exactly like the book of Deuteronomy prophesied, a curse upon Israel. Meanwhile, the true descendants of Judah remain a small people, about 30% of the Jewish population in the world today. This all precisely fulfills the curses upon Deuteronomy. Now, what is going to happen is that what has happened is that God, in his providence, if you will, has allowed the energy and the zeal and the mercantile genius and so on of these Khazars to propel the Pharisaic Talmudic conspiracy to heights of world control, which the Sephardic Oriental would never have been able to do. And they have carried along the Sephardim, and the Sephardim have become Zionists and so on. And what will happen, I believe, according to Scripture, is that God will honor the ingrafting of these Gentiles into Israel, into this religious, the momentum of this religious system as it goes forth toward its Antichrist objectives. And in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, you will find that he very clearly states that the proselytes who convert to Jesus Christ, meaning the proselytes of the Khazars, shall be included in that remnant who are brought back to Palestine. And all throughout Jewish and Hebrew history, we find God allowing Gentiles to be engrafted. Only with the Khazars, it's on a much greater magnitude than in the Old Testament. So this is all part of a wonderful plan of letting this Gentile horde come in and rule over and persecute, if you will, the Sephardim. But nevertheless, they are part of God's majestic plan of judgment and final redemption.
Richie,
so
do you have any response?
Well, I'd like to ask, are the whites of the Western European stock merely Gentiles who are grafted in to the vine
absolutely.
Of Israel?
Excuse me, say that again, Richie.
Are the Western European whites, who I believe are the lost tribes of Israel, but in your theory, you seem to dispel that. Are we just grafted on into the house of Israel through our faith in the Messiah?
We are spiritually grafted in through trust in Jesus Christ. We are spiritually the descendants of Abraham. We are the Israel of God in the most spiritual terms. But I believe that God has his own unfinished destiny and plan of redemption for a remnant out of Israel, which will probably include both Khazars and descendants of the tribe of Judah, Semites. He has his own plan for them. And he's going to finish his great quarrel and his great love affair with Israel, and he's going to have righteousness out of them, practically whether they like it or not.
Indeed.
All right.
Thank you, Pastor.
It's been a discussion. Thank you very much, Richie,
for asking
the question. And we're going to continue with other questions. I would like to, again, because time is short, remind people that come Monday morning, this bill, there are several bills now, I don't want to confuse people, but the Conyers bill is the one that you feel, Ted, is the most dangerous right now.
Absolutely.
And that bill has to be smoked out, and attention must be given it so that people can identify with that bill. My only fear is that now it may be that bill, too, may be drowned out with opposition, and a third, as you pointed out, and a fourth and a fifth may come out, and this can continue to go on playing this smokescreen game.
Well, we'll have to keep on top of it. You know, the old saw, eternal vigilance is the price of freedom.
Well, it's like I say, Satan never sleeps, and neither can we, because every day the situation is so fluidy. I mean, it changes, and
yes,
we have to be on top of it all the time, and that's why we have you here so often, in order to update us with the seriousness of this situation. And, you know, people now are taking it seriously, thankfully, in the last 2 years or so that you've been on with us here on this network that I've been here going on the third year. You have never seen a tremendous surge, if I may use the term, in opposition now coming from those that should have been there in the beginning, Rowan Viewer.
Well, that's right. You know, I just remind you, Rick, that it was the ADL that alerted me several days ago that Conyers had put his bill in the subcommittee.
Right.
Now, when's the ADL going to learn that if they keep putting hate bills in Congress, they're only going to fan the fires of resistance, at least as long as we have watchdogs on the wall? They're only going to do it to their own detriment, because every time they put a hate bill in, it gets more and more people in the religious right who have been fawns of Israel, worshippers of Israel, alienated from ADL and the international organized Jewry.
Yeah.
So we're in a race to the finish here, and all I say is if the ADL wants to put the hate bill in the House, and let's say it does pass the House, well, we're going to have a big campaign to saturate the Senate Judiciary Committee and all of its members with my flyers, and AFA and Janet Folger, and all of us are going to be even more solidified, bringing in more people from the religious right, coming to truthtellers.org for the whole truth about the evil Jewish leadership.
Okay, excellent. Let's take another call. 1-800-313-9443. Stan in Idaho. Hello, Stan.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Reverend Pike, how are you doing?
Real well.
I'm going to call tonight, Monday morning. I heard what you said tonight about the number of the bills and to concentrate
on this. Sounds like my friend Stan Hess.
Yeah, it is. How you doing, Reverend Pike? I really appreciate everything that you're doing. And I wanted to throw something out to you, and this would be in conjunction with your strategy of reaching these evangelicals. And this is it. Most of the young people for the last 20 years have been hearing the word civil rights. And I heard this today at the Republican Party meeting in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where the white woman who is going to be the next president of North Idaho College, she was defending a teacher, a white teacher there, who said that Republicans and other people who could not think should be exterminated. Now, this is becoming a national story. And here's what, and I'm not going to get into my response to that, other than saying that words have consequences. And I mentioned the Soviet Union and the extermination of Soviet, what I refer to as Yuri or European Christians, is that I think eventually that the evangelicals, if they're going to get on board and to defeat this Talmudic power, is they're going to have to demand that Christians be considered an historically persecuted class and demand a group civil rights bill for Christians. What do you think of that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the truth of the matter is all these hate bills ostensibly give freedom of religion to all groups, and supposedly don't discriminate against any ethnicity, any racial group, a group according to national origin, and so on. The truth of the matter is that these bills are always the work of ADL, and the ADL's hate crimes bureaucracies enforce them. So they selectively force them to discriminate against Christians.
Right.
But yes, you're absolutely right. A paradox now that our Christian culture is now an underclass, a persecuted minority, which seems to have very little rights in the courts compared to homosexual rights, Jewish rights, Chicano rights, and so on.
Right, right. That's why I say I think it would really throw a monkey wrench into the works if you could get the evangelical Christians, because they seem to be the one that have the most energy, to say we are a persecuted class based upon the crucifixion of Christ, the persecution of Christians for the last 2,000 years, and for the ultimate destruction of European Christian people in the old Soviet Union. So we are an historically persecuted class, and we want our name to be written into the Constitution or into laws saying that we deserve rights as a persecuted minority. Now, what this woman teacher, this woman president of the college, said today, that this teacher who said that, she said it was a way to provoke discussion. But she said if this woman had said blacks or Jews, then this would have been a hate crime and she would have been fired.
Oh, yes, she would.
Yes, but
absolutely.
She said because this was Republicans, and of course Republicans are not considered an historically persecuted class either, then these teachers can literally set Christians up to eventually be incarcerated and exterminated just because of the fact that they're not considered equal to blacks and Jews and Latinos.
Well, you know, Stan, back about 5 years ago, there was a dispute at a football game, a man's wife, who was a photographer for a local newspaper, was thrown to the ground. Her camera was ripped off of her neck because she had taken a picture of a black coach there.
Well, that's Edgar Steele's case, yeah.
Yeah, Lonnie Ray was the name of the man who came forth, and in his anger, he impulsively used the N-word against this black coach, and he was brought up for trial, and Ed Steele was his attorney, but he was facing 5 years in prison just for using the N-word in a heated moment, seeing his wife thrown to the ground. Now, there you have the double standard. The ADL, Idaho state law, was going to be enforced to the limit, sending that man for 5 years in prison. And I talked to Ed Steele on the phone, and he told me that the newspapers, the community, everybody in Idaho thought that was a wonderful idea. I mean, virtually everybody thought that was a wonderful idea. This man could go to prison for 5 years for using that racial slur. And certainly that's not right, but nevertheless, we are human and we are fallible. And here you have an example of what should be considered hate speech, and yet where's the ADL as far as enforcing their hate crimes law right now?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, is that when the Soviet Union was first instituted, the first people that were put in the boxcars about 1919 under the orders of Lenin, this was before Stalin even took over, were European Christians.
Yes, of course.
So, Zionism is nothing but another Talmudic strategy, just like Bolshevism is, just like globalism is. It's destroy the West. So yes. I just put that out there for you guys and for the listeners, and especially for Ted, because he's trying to turn some of these evangelical Christians. If you can make that connection to the Soviet Union, and then to say that they instituted hate laws immediately too, and guess how they were used? They were used against European Christians. But we need to use the system. This is my opinion. We need to use the system against them and say we are an historically persecuted class, and rally all Christians, no matter who they are, of what ethnicity, to this issue, and I guarantee, I think it would floor them.
Yeah. Well, we're bringing the evangelicals, I believe, in baby steps in that direction of getting some balance and perspective on this.
Well, I appreciate it, guys.
And,
thank you so much,
Stanley.
Thanks,
Stan. We'll have you on the show too, maybe next week. But at least we can say that Idaho deserves a little round of applause, as I mentioned yesterday, becoming the first state to pass the anti-North American Union SPP resolution. So,
well, and you know what?
Thankful for that.
And you know what happened? It wasn't even in the papers up here.
Of course not. It's too important.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay, have a good weekend.
Thank you,
guys.
Stan. All right,
bye.
We'll take a quick break, and we have another caller that is ready to come on the air when we do. Ted, you might as well stick with us right up till the end, okay?
My pleasure.
Be back, and we'll sum up everything. tell you what you need to do. And right now, those of you that haven't, you people tuning in a little bit later, and you're on the Internet, just go to www.truthtellers.org. And we will return with Ted Pike in just 3 minutes. Rick Adams, stay with us. Okay, let's see if we can squeeze in a call here. Richard from Austin, hello.
Yes, how you doing tonight, Mr. Adams?
Okay, good, thank you.
I just like to speak on that, you know, there's one thing that really sticks in my craw, and that's the 70-plus biologists and scientists that were murdered mysteriously, and apparently they were working on something that's really top secret that the whoever murdered them doesn't want any cure for what they were working on. And to me, that fits into, like, what Rex 84 is supposed to be all about,
mm-hmm.
you know, building all these camps and everything.
Yes.
It just seems like they're planning on something so ominous, so that, and there won't be any remedy for it, because why else would they kill all these people? And I just don't think that gets enough airtime. What do you think?
Well, that's true. I appreciate your bringing that up, and we'll deal with it. But right now, we're trying to deal quickly with the hate bill. Do you have any comments on that?
Oh, no, I came in too late on that. But, yeah, I think that's the same. You know, that's kind of, you know, using buzzwords like, you know, the N-word or whatever.
Yeah.
I just never thought that was anything to even take to. I mean, taking people's right to speak on the way they feel about another race, that's a personal problem with two individuals. I don't think that should ever be handled in court.
Well, it used to be a verbal assault or, you know, fighting words or what have you. Now they've elevated it to a crime, a felonious crime.
Right.
I mean, this is just a police state, and it is a censorship issue, because no matter how bad the word may be, you know and I know that you can utter profanities today, and you can scream and shout and rant and rave, and you'll not be facing 40 or 50 years in prison for that. In fact, there won't be any such thing. Right, Ted?
Yeah, that's right. There are many conspiracy scenarios going around. Many of them are very legitimate. But what we have today is a very tangible and a very present threat in the subcommittee of the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee right now. We have a bill number. The bill number is H.R. 1592. It's called the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act. It's being put forth by Representative Conyers, the head of the Judiciary Committee. It will go forward, I believe, quite rapidly out of Judiciary onto the docket for a vote very soon, unless we speak out in a chorus of protest Monday morning. And that phone number to call is 1-877-851-6437. Again, that's 877-851-6437. The first thing to do is call your member of Congress from your district to make sure that they will not vote for the hate bill should it get onto the floor. If you've got some more time, then use that number to call the 40 members of the House Judiciary Committee. Those members are listed very clearly at truthtellers.org. We also have flyers against the hate bill. Send those in not only to the member of your district in the House, but also their 8 to 10 influential legislative aides. I believe we can stop this hate bill, even perhaps before it gets out of Judiciary.
All right, and thank you for the call, Richard. Ted, we're just about out of time right now, so we'll be updating our audience every week on what's the latest happening. So thank you, Ted, for joining us. People want to get in touch with you personally. You've given your number out before. You can give it now if you'd like.
Sure, that's 503-631-3808. That's 503-631-3808. 3808. Call me if you need a flyer, you don't get the internet or whatever, maybe I could mail you one.
Sure, excellent. Okay, Ted, we'll be in touch. Thank you.